This is the Cam Jansen Show.
This was fed by Pandolfo to Jansen up the wing and a drive.
Cam Jansen told me today, he said you're probably going to see this.
Now we have a fight. Jansen and Downey. There's a left by good Jansen. One. Another left. Now the right by Jansen.
And then Cam Jansen comes out of the penalty box and scores a memorable goal.
This is the Cam Jansen Show, assisted by Vincent Mortgage.
Hey, welcome to the Cam Jansen Show. We are live at Top Shooters 531 Old State Route 3 in Columbia, Illinois. Go ahead and just get on your phone and type in your Google Maps and put in Top Shooters, and you'll be here in like 20 minutes from wherever you're at. Come check it out, man. This place is packed. We're going to be giving out tickets today, too, Matty Lashoff.
Yep, two tickets.
Two tickets. So if you come down here and we'll get some, we'll give you a pen and paper, just write it, and we'll write it in a little hat. And at 4 o'clock when we're done with the show, we'll just draw it real quick, and boom, you guys win two tickets to the Blues and the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow night at Scott Trade Center. I think it's a 6 o'clock game. I'm working that game on the Jumbotron. That's going to be a difficult game, Matty Lashoff. By the way, we're on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and inside STL.com.
Come down. There is
come on down
Christmas
here.
Parties going
yes,
on.
Yes, Christmas atmosphere. Jim Patton from Remax One showed up. We got Travis from Codigo 1530
you
here.
You can play golf and be in the Christmas spirit
down
here.
You can play golf and talk to all the little elves cruising around or whatever you want to call them. Last night was, again, another difficult game against Anaheim, which they give us trouble for some odd reason. I don't care how depleted their lineup is. They gave us trouble again last night, and that was actually a kind of a boring game to watch, kind of frustrating. We couldn't get any sustained offensive zone pressure on them whatsoever. A little glimpses here and there. Joel Edmondson made a couple cool plays where he kind of breakaway from Scotty Upshaw, tic-tac-toe play, which was nice. Little things here and there, but man, oh, man, as a whole, they kind of got worked over, and not because they were outplayed, and not because they had a higher level skill set on that team. Not even close. It just we made some stupid plays at stupid times, and didn't help Jake out whatsoever. And they took advantage of it. And their Anaheim structure to their game and their game plan was to just play in the zone, disrupt any speed coming through the neutral zone, play a dirty, boring, kind of in-your-face kind of game, but just kind of shut us down a little bit and bore us to death, and that's kind of what happened, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, like you said, I mean, a Randy Carlyle coach team is always going to be one of the most structured teams you're going to play against. I mean, they're going to play really hard nose. They're going to be, you know, well-placed defensively pretty much everywhere around the ice. The thing that intrigued me that they were doing is that, and I think it was part of the game plan with the inexperience in the Blues lineup, is the Ducks really, their offensive zone play, and it kind of touched on something that we had talked about that other teams are starting to do right now, is they're getting that washing machine type of situation going in their offensive zone, so the Blues defensive zone, and it really creates a lot of chaos. And there was the goal that ended up that Fowler ended up, you know, tipping into the net that was a bit of a breakdown. I believe it was their third goal. That is exactly what happened. They had the defense were moving around. You know, Brodziak got a little bit lost with where Fowler was behind him, looked over the wrong shoulder. And he spun in there. And, yeah, like you said, all three goals were massive breakdowns.
They were just breakdowns. And you could see the one. And we're going to have George Smug. Let me give you the rundown real quick. We're going to have Terry Yake on at 2:30, but that switch over to Reed Lowe because I think Yeager's got a big conference call he's got to do. 3 o'clock, we're going to have a good friend of mine who I used to play with, Dan Hinote, Stanley Cup winner in 2001 with the Colorado Avalanche. Went to West Point. Unbelievably smart human being, but the coolest guy in the world. We and him had such a good time together, man. He was just one of a kind and a great teammate. We're going to have him come on. We're going to see what he's all about and what he's got going. And then, obviously, we got Jordan Schmaltz coming on at 3:30. And I thought Schmaltz played a pretty good game last couple games. Bomeister was supposed to play last night. I don't know. He's still banged up. God, weird injuries. So Schmaltzy got the call, played a decent game last night, but there were some breakdowns that first goal. Mm-hmm. Schmaltzy kind of got burned wide a little bit, chased a guy, but he chased him around the net, and Vince Dunn kind of creeped down to take the man that he was chasing. Schmaltzy was chasing behind the net, and the puck got kicked into the front of the net, and it was a goal. A little bit of a breakdown by two young kids, and you could just tell, missing Alex Petrangelo on little situations like that, he would have just deferred the whole thing and kicked the puck into the corner, and that's where you miss your captain when you see these two young guys make mistakes like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you look at those goals, and we were talking about this before we were on air, is you look at that goal, and if you have a guy that's been out there, been around, he defers the play because he makes a judgment, and he makes a distinct judgment, and one of the biggest judgments in that play was Schmaltz either had to stay with that guy and Dunn had to stay in front, or Schmaltz had to let him go back to the front of the net, and Dunn had to take him behind the net. Yeah. And in a play where you see, you know, a veteran player, a guy like Petro, like you said, he would have either stuck with that guy like Schmaltz kind of did, and then Dunn has to read off of it a little bit quicker, but there was a little bit of separation, so it made the cause for Dunn to be able to want to go step in. And granted, I look at that goal, it's obviously a frustrating goal to get let in, because you got a guy wide open in net with three cracks at the puck in front of your own net, you know, for free pretty much. But I look at that one, and it bothers you, but it's a young player's mistake. The other goals were goals that were breakdowns. They were legit defensive zone breakdowns where things were settled. They were made by older veteran-type players. The one Barbashev was involved where he could have had a little bit more urgency to get to a different spot or stayed in his area with his man. But the other ones, you know, you had a turnover by Edmondson that turned into a little bit of a kerfuffle in the zone.
Kerfuffle.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's a Christmas word.
Saw a lot of those.
Yeah, and it was just a lot of indecisiveness, and I think you see that with, like you said, you have your veteran players when they're in the lineup. It's not that they're always going to make the right play. They're just going to be decisive with the plays that they do make, so it makes everybody else kind of settle back and make their decision a lot easier. Last night you saw a lot of the in-between. Am I supposed to go to that guy? Am I supposed to go to that
you
guy?
You go. Oh, I go. No, it's communication, and that half a second could lead you into danger, and we saw that a great example of that multiple times last night. What else was I going to ask you there?
They should be fairly easily to be able to be fixed. I mean, this is going to be one of those mornings where the guys go in and they know it's going to be a long
session.
Oh, yeah,
when they look at the video and they're like, yeah, okay, I know this clip. I screwed up. Okay, Yosi, what do you want me to do next time? Whatever the case is.
Exactly.
I think they are easy fixed. And my point was, I was going to get it when I just had a brain fart there, is you could tell the mistakes in games now without Schwartzy and 27 in the lineup, your captain, Alex Petrangelo. Everything amplifies. Mistakes amplify. You know what I mean?
Right.
So a lot of those mistakes, if 2-7 was on the ice, like, again, he would have had a stick in the right lane. He would have done this. He would have done that. Or if Schwartzy was in the offensive zone, maybe you turn the puck over. Schwartzy's right there recapturing the possession of the puck and turning something in the offensive zone. Like, little things like that, I guess you somewhat underappreciate when they're in the lineup all the damn time. But when they're not, and you do make the mistakes, and 27's not there to bail you out, God, they turn into goals, and that's kind of what happened last night. But again, it's not like we played that bad. I think they played unbelievably structured, sound. They kind of got into our face. I love that Josh Manson on that team. Mm-hmm. He turned into a hell of a defenseman. I think he's their second D pairing right now, logging a lot of minutes, and he's like, you know, he's in your face. He's big. His dad was a Warrior. Mm-hmm. They got a pretty damn good team, but man, that was a frustrating game to watch. It was boring. I kind of figured right when they scored that goal, I'm like, oh God, here it's going to be one of these again, and it kind of was.
Well, you look at this, the fact too, like, Allen's been playing so good. He's been playing a lot of hockey, which kind of goes in and out with, you know, you're relying on him so much, and he did. He did everything he needed to do last night to be able to give the guys a chance to win. The goals that were scored, two of them, I think combined with the two goals, there was six whacks at the puck to be able to get two goals.
Unacceptable.
So it's, you know, it's one of those things, like you said, and this kind of goes to your point. You know, there were some big gaffes, obviously, that they're going to want to tighten that up. You're playing a really high-powered Winnipeg team coming in here. But also, they did have some offensive opportunities. They've had some offensive chances, and I think it goes to your point when we were saying, if you got a Schwartzy, and he, you know, that pairing with Shen is mixed up and they're doing really well, you got Petrangelo, you know, back in the fold, and even a Bomeister, just to be able to make judgments, and that's what we were saying. You know, I know, you know, our boy here doesn't like J-Bo, but he makes
ooh,
a lot.
Jim Pan from Remax One, he hates J-Bo.
Yeah, I know, but when you got a guy like that in the lineup.
I could have used J-Bo. No, you'll have your turn in a second. I'm not happy with you, Jim Pan from Remax One. I lost $250 because of you last night, and we'll talk about that in a second.
It goes to the point where you have these offensive chances. When you have a couple of those guys back in the lineup, you don't have any goal backing right now.
No, you know, you're right.
It's one thing. I mean, three goals to let up in a game, you'd like to keep it at two, but three's not all that much. This team can score four goals.
I know.
You know, easily score four goals.
I know.
And you still got the guys in the lineup to do it. So right now, you just saw last night, you know, they had some opportunities. They had a couple two-on-ones. They had a three-on-two, three-on-one
really,
kind of.
Really, really good play for Joel Edmondson to get a breakaway.
Yeah, he
Joel
had a breakaway.
Joel Edmondson started in the D zone in the corner with three guys on him. They broke the play up. He busts his ass up. Kevin Bieksa tries to pinch in at the blue line on Patrick Berglund. Bergie makes a really good play to get a little bit more time with the puck, separate himself from Bieksa, pinching in, and makes a great pass to Scotty Upshaw, who one-touches it right in the neutral zone for Joel Edmondson going 100 miles an hour, who he started in the corner, broke the play up, busts his ass, gets a breakaway. That would have turned the damn game around. That was an unbelievable play by everybody on the ice. And just little things like that didn't go our way, and I think they scored.
Well, and that's what you need to look at. You knew this situation was going to come when you saw all these guys getting injured and kind of getting bumped out and getting out of lineup because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. So you knew that there was going to be something that they were going to have to endure. And I think right now, the main thing that they need to endure is their structure needs to be in place because they aren't going to get the goal backing that they had before.
You cannot afford to make mistakes now that you don't have those two superstars on the ice with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. And I know it's a weird thing to say, but they honestly amplify when you don't have a guy like Schwartzy or Petro bailing you out or leading the rush or whatever the case is. That was a very, very difficult game to watch one way or the other. And on to my next point, I guess, with that game. Number 91. We need him to elevate everybody's game. Everybody's game. And I think he looks frustrated. I think he hit a crossbar again last night. Mm-hmm. I know Pajarvi hit a crossbar last night. If those two goals went in, the game would have completely been changed around. But, man, oh, man, Vladdy just seems frustrated. He seems a little bit out of it. He seems like he's rushing his shots. He's not picking his corners like he used to. He's just in a weird spot right now. And he looks, again, frustrated. When your top guy's kind of frustrated, he kind of puts his head down on the bench and he's not vocal. That kind of wears on everybody a little bit, and it's contagious.
Well, exactly. And I think that if you look at the pure goal scorers that have played in the league, and you look at a guy like Ovechkin, you look at a guy like that you played with in Kovalchuk.
You see that picture I put up?
Yeah, I did.
Isn't that pretty good?
Great.
You see that rock?
Great.
Oh, he's not paying attention. Anyway, go ahead.
You know, when these guys are having trouble getting goals, you can see them. They're waiting for themselves to get the puck. They're waiting, and then, like you said, when they don't get the puck from the other guys in the team, they're getting frustrated, and then it trickles down. And I think that's the main thing you're starting to see with Vladdy. And when he's super, super effective is when he's in there, involved in the play, cycling it around. Now, granted, you take Schwartzy out of that mix that they had, that's a big guy to take out because he is making a lot of cutbacks. He's getting the puck. He's making a lot
Separating
of moves.
Himself.
He's getting some space for the rest of the guys. So Vladdy can kind of find those sneaky areas. The thing that he's best at is finding those, you know, high-scoring areas where he can get the puck and be effective. Right now, there's going to have to be a little bit more work involved for him to be able to get the puck and to be able to really get the opportunity to score, and it's not going to come to him like it may have when he had those other two guys. So, like you said, though, it is something that does trickle down because, you know, you can see him scraping the rafters at times, looking for the one-timer on the far point.
He's getting a lot of shots blocked, dude.
Yeah. Well, that's you're forcing it.
Yeah, I know, and a lot of guys are getting a lot of shots blocked, it seems like, And when you're in the offensive zone and you have the puck and everybody knows you're going to shoot it like a Vladdy and everybody crashes the net and all of a sudden it gets blocked, you're caught. It is the worst thing in the world when you think you have a lane and all of a sudden it gets blocked and everybody thinks that you're going to get that puck through, so they go to the net and that puck's kicked out in the neutral zone and now there's a race and an on-man rush the other way. It happened multiple times.
And this kind of goes,
very frustrating.
For sure, and this kind of goes peeling back into the power play is that you saw them get so frustrated. the other, like, probably in the midway through the second, third period, they got so frustrated, they just started bombing everything. They were hitting ankles. They were hitting people.
And that's
they were hitting
fine.
Everything. Exactly. But so then it kind of comes twofold. You can see this is kind of where you see power plays start to shift and take off. They're going to get so pissed off that it's not working that they're just going to start shooting. And when they start shooting, things are going to start breaking down. Guys are going to start blocking it. You're going to see a lot of shots kind of get blocked in that sense. And then the plays are going to get opened up. And then guys are going to start being able to distribute. Right now, to me, watching the power play, things are way too predictive.
Yeah.
Like it's like, I got the puck. There was a play where Vladdy had the puck on the half wall. He's walking down. He had an easy bank pass off the wall back up to be able to reverse the pressure. Held on to it, looked. Held on to it, looked. Held on, took it away from him. See you later.
Gone. Yep.
So that's kind of where they're at right now. They're looking for the perfect play, and now they just need to start moving it, 1-2, bomb it. Hitchcock actually had a statistic that he said, if you have to get a shot within 10 seconds off of your power play. If you don't get a shot within 10 seconds off of the puck drop, first face off of the power play, your percentage of scoring on that power play goes down like 90%.
Really?
It's insane, yeah. So his big thing was with teams, he says, as soon as we win the faceoff, it's D-to-D shot. Because what does that do? It breaks the guys down. It breaks the defenders down. They start scrambling a little bit. So you can see
Vladdy was on the left point too, wasn't he?
Yep, yeah. For a bit of it, yeah. He moved over and where he hit the bar, he was on the right point.
Yeah.
But he does. He starts out on that left point. I think that might be a little bit of a face-off structure.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I'm like, he's not getting the puck as much, and maybe that just puts a little bit of more eyes on somebody else, and all of a sudden when he does get a kick to him, he might have a little bit more room to shoot.
But you saw, too, like, you know, you could tell the frustration level was high. You saw Vladdy had the puck on the left point, and he had Parayko wide open for a one-timer, and he held on, and just buried into somebody's ankles. And it was like, you're just trying to look for everything. The good thing is that everybody wants this thing to move forward, so they're all trying to take it upon themselves, and it is going to happen once you start breaking other teams down. The biggest changes, I think the biggest things that need to be, you know, looked at are being too predictable,
yeah,
getting shots in, and really getting into the dirty areas, the areas where the plays are happening in front of that net. They're not there right now.
Jim the mic there too, because he owes me some money, and I'm going to rip on him in front of everybody on the air. But we're not going to the dirty areas. And you know who did last night was Anaheim. I mean, look where their goals are.
Yeah.
The one guy on the first goal, he stood right there.
Yeah,
and they're like, okay, we're going to play a dirty game because we don't have a couple of our big boys in the lineup, just like the Blues. But you know what? We're going to, you know, structurally, we're going to outplay it.
Yeah.
Randy Carlyle's like, you know what? We're going to hem them. We're going to make sure they get no speed through the neutral zone. We're going to piss them off in the D zone. We're going to hack and whack. We're going to clear the front of the net. And on the offensive side of things, we're going to stand right in front of that net, and we're going to whack the puck in the net. And that's exactly what they did. And we need to take notes on that because we kind of played that freelance style back and forth. And it just didn't work that way.
And they
shut us down.
Exactly. And that's the biggest change that's going to need to happen over the next stretch where these guys are out. Is this your structure level is going to have to go through the roof, and it's going to have to be those greasy, dirty, crappy goals that you don't.
And that's fine.
Exactly.
Though, because
it's fine.
When we do play sound structure game, man, we are unbelievably hard to beat. This weekend is going to be the test.
Yeah.
And if you want to go this weekend, Saturday night, come to Top Shooters, 531 Old State Route 3 in Columbia. We're going to give away two tickets to the Blues and Winnipeg tomorrow night. I'm going to be working that game. I'm sure you'll be there too, Matty Lashoff. I'm sure Jim Patton's going to be there. Tell me to bet on another game with Winnipeg. And go ahead, turn his mic on, please.
You there?
You got something to say to me, sir?
Yeah, I do.
What do you got to
I
say
do.
To me?
I
250
do.
Bones down the drain.
Next time I give you one, have the balls to bet it.
You call me out like I didn't bet it? Damn you. Damn it, you're right. I didn't lose any money.
I know.
But if I would have, I would have been pissed at you.
The Winnipeg, when they get these live pop games, they should win, man. They're spending out, you know.
So,
I got a bad feeling about tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, I got a bad feeling,
dude. I bleed blue. I bleed blue. Are we missing Petro yet, guys?
Oh,
what do you think? I mean, the guy just, I mean, you know, that was painful to watch last night. A lot of people said that last night they had a bad vibe since
the drop of the puck.
Well,
although Anaheim didn't get a shot on goal for the first 10 minutes, man.
Right? But see, I just got here, so I wasn't listening to what you and Matt were actually saying before analyzing the game. But
nothing important.
Their first two goals, though, you see how they got them? They're 2 inches from Allen, banging that puck, just banging it there. And we're not doing that.
No, I know.
We are not. You know, Anaheim played the game they had to play to beat us. You know, they got to think about it. Ryan Kessler's out. Corey Perry's out. That's a huge.
Getzlaff's still banged up too.
And man, did he play a game? I mean, that guy is such a leader. He is such a gritty.
Ryan Getzlaff finally had to throw a visor on for the first time in his career. He never wore a visor.
I know.
Well, yeah, he's one of the few, man.
His face got rearranged, so.
Yeah, he broke his orbital bone.
But you know, I mean, the Anaheim played the game they had to play. The Blues, you know, we got to start getting some of, like, I heard Matt say, some of those greasy, gritty goals, you know, they're going off somebody's body, off somebody's pad, somebody's whatever, because as long as Petro's out, Petro, God Almighty, you know, that's like taking Duncan Keith out of your lineup. It's like taking Drew Doughty. I do hate him, but
no, Petro completely controls the game, and without having him, everything again, like we said, is just completely amplified. And I think too, Maddie, sometimes when everything goes really good and really easy for you, real well, and you have offensive zone time, you're scoring goals at will, you're putting 4 or 5 up a night. You kind of get away from the dirty areas. You kind of get away, like, I don't need to go there because this is working. So why get hacked and whacked and cross-checked by Dustin Byfuglien whenever I don't have to, because I'm going to score from over here instead?
Now, listen, like, this is a frustrating time of the season, but it's coming at the right time, I think, for the Blues.
I agree with
like,
that, Matty.
You know, this is going to test them and have them find the ability to prove themselves where it's going to really, really matter. Now, listen, you could put all the money in the world probably right now on them making the playoffs instead of unless something catastrophic happens. So, really, their team now is building towards what they're going to do into the playoff, into the deep playoff run. And if they can have the young guys step up, learn from those mistakes, gain a little bit more experience, have guys that were a little bit lower in the totem pole, have a little bit more emphasis on how a game is swung, then their confidence is going to go up. And then when they go back down into the positions that they were in, they're going to have a little bit more confidence, want to make a little bit more plays with the puck, and they're all going to be better off and know what it takes to get into those greasy, dirty areas to win those little games.
Get back to the dirty game.
Yeah.
Man. Get back to the dirty game.
That's the only way they're going to win right now.
Well, I think they will get. They'll be 100%. To a point now to where, like, look, we're not going to win any games unless we do this.
And I totally agree with you guys. And now's the time. You don't want this happening in March and April. Yeah. I mean, you want it now. If an 82 game season, you're going to have injuries. Everybody's got them, and you got to figure it out.
And we also saw what happened last year too. And you know, people wrote the Blues off last year when it came to December and January. And how can you not? I mean, Jake Allen was staying at home. We didn't know what the hell we were going to get from him. Things like that do happen, and it's a long, long year. Injuries happen. Let's get this injury over with Schwartzy. Let's get a couple of these other injuries over with a couple of our top D-men. And then once we get to February, everybody's going to be good to go, and we'll have our structure back, and we'll have a good pressure and a rally going into the playoffs. But, boy, oh, boy, we got to nip a lot of things in the butt right now to stay competitive with the two big dogs out of the lineup.
Well, and I think, too, like last night's game, the breakdowns were so large and so obvious that I think that this is such a well-coached team by Yo that it's going to be an easy fix for him to go in there and say, listen, boys, like, we got to dial this
up. Look what you're doing here. Like, clear the guy out in front of the net.
Right.
No, communicate on this goal. Da-da-da. Like, it's all easy things. The young kids kind of screwed up a little bit. On a couple other goals, they got kind of scattered around. Kyle Brodziak lost his D-man. They took advantage of that situation. Got scrambled again. Couldn't get the puck out. Boom, another goal. Easy mistakes, but there's still mistakes that happen and that kill teams when they're not disciplined.
But it's one of those ones, too, like, you know what, like we were saying, like, what it's going to be like in the room in the morning. And it's one of those situations where, like, all the guys going in there know. They're like, ah, man, like, I know. But what that ends up doing is it ramps up everybody's compete level and going, like, I got to be that much better going into the next game, which is a benefit for them coming in versus a really, really good team tomorrow. So I think it's going to work somewhat into their hands and saying, like, okay, it wasn't like they squeaked by, played a decent game, and just lost. Like, there was a couple of huge breakdowns. They're going to be a little bit fired up.
And we still could have won that game. Yeah, look at it like that. We still had a chance to win that game. But again, they did what they had to do.
And you know, I think they regressed last night. They actually played a good game against Tampa the other night. I mean, that was a definite winnable game against a team.
Oh, 100%.
That's got more skill.
Still, mistakes killed you.
Mistakes killed you. You know, I mean, Vladdy's got to, you know, he's got to open the net. He misses. He's got to score that goal.
And a couple crossbars here and there. Right. I mean, we can say the same for both games. Hey, but real quick, we are at Top Shooters, 531 Old State Route 3 in Columbia, Illinois. Put it in your Google Maps. It's right down the road. This place is hopping right now. They got all kinds of drink specials, food specials. They got the golf simulation. They got it going on. And not to mention, we're giving away two free tickets to Blues and Winnipeg. Dustin Byfuglien is not playing tomorrow night. Thank Christ.
Okay, that's
monster.
That's a good thing.
He rocked me so hard one time.
He's a big boy, I was choking
on my tongue, and he like stepped over me and spit on me, too. And I'm like, okay, I suck at life. Anyway, thank God the Monster's not playing tomorrow. But I do got two tickets. Bring it in here. Jim, you want to talk about Remax One
Absolutely.
Now, or you want to do it after the next?
Whatever team? What do you want to do?
How much time? We got enough time? Okay, go ahead. We'll talk about Remax One. Go ahead, baby.
Okay, Cam. And first, before I start, real quick, Manny, is that a Kirkwood Stars hat that you're wearing over
it
there?
It is.
I like it.
I'm a representative.
Nice hat. I love it.
The 50th anniversary. It's not bad. They did a good job.
There you go. Hey, if you're thinking about taking advantage of the current red hot real estate market,
yes.
You need to contact the professional associates at Remax One, right, Cam?
Yeah, because I'm losing money because of you. So now I need to save money.
Now you need to save money and come down and see me. Our full-time sales agents are experts in the art of negotiating for our clients and will guide them every step of the way throughout the entire sales process from the beginning all the way up and through the closing of their transaction.
You will.
At the title company. At Remax One, we make the best interest of our clients our utmost priority and strive at exceeding their expectations as our number one goal in each and every transaction, Cam. And what title company do we use,
Chesterfield,
Cam?
Baby. I know that everybody knows that.
They do it. That's right. We recommend Chesterfield Title to successfully close our clients' transactions. As a buyer and seller, you have choices to where you order your title from with competitive pricing, mobile notary on site, and faster overall service. Chesterfield Title Agency puts the customer first. For questions or a quote, call Chesterfield Title Agency at 636-256-5777. So what are you waiting for, Cam? Go for that winning team.
Let's do it, baby.
Remax One and Chesterfield Title. And if you call and mention Cam Jansen, the new 55, the number 55.
Well, the old 55.
Yeah, the old 55, the blue 55.
The horrible first, 55. Just say that. That's all you got to say.
Okay, the forward, the 55.
Yeah, the one that sucked. Go ahead.
You will receive a free, comprehensive, comparable market analysis of your home. So do it now. STLNumberOneHomes.com, 636-938-3530 in Eureka. And 636-333-9191, Cam.
Vladdy.
In Wildwood, you got it.
Hey, we'll be back to the Cam Jansen Show. 5-9 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and inside STL.com.